past few weeks, I've been sharing on faithfulness of God. I have another message toward that end here. But Hebrews 11:11 will go as a text. Hebrews 11:11 and Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of the faith of various believers and what God did in their lives as a result of their faith. But verse 11 says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. They were around 100. It's past age. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She received because she judged God as faithful to fulfill his promise that was made. It's in knowing the faithfulness of God we have a confidence in him keeping his covenant promises, whereby we lay hold of the life of God. Now, as it was with Abraham, it was with Sarah, in that in the beginning, he struggled with such promises. He didn't get it right away. Sometimes we don't get a hold of things right away. I think I'm not the only one. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Abraham, it took 25 years. What put him over the top was the revelation that God was Almighty God. He struggled up to that point, but once he had that revelation that God is Almighty, meaning that he's more than enough, that with him all things are possible, that put him over the top. That even though that promise looked to be an impossibility in the natural, it was possible because God is the God of the impossible. So that revelation took Abraham over the top. And he began to give thanks and speak of it and speak his faith. But Sarah still had to come into that place of faith because Abraham did not have a baby by himself. It involved Sarah was his teammate, so to speak, his mate. But they were in this together. And she was a tremendous example of submission. She followed her husband out from their homeland, out from their family at the word of the Lord. You know, she was doing various things with him, but now this promise was going to require a miracle. God had promised that he would give a land, he would bless him, and that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed, which was speaking to the fact he's going to have to begin by having a son before he can become a nation. So God had this promise that would only be accomplished by the miracle power of God. Brother Lester Sumrall comes to my remembrance here. He once said, if your vision no longer shocks your flesh, you're backslidden. In other words, vision from God is going to require the miracle power of God. If you can do it in your own ability, it's just something of you. But the thing that God would have will require his Holy Spirit, and thus, in the wisdom of God, all glory has to go to God. Because you know, I couldn't make this happen. I couldn't do this. He did it. Well, this great miracle that's going to happen involved someone other than Abraham, and that was his wife, Sarah. And it says here, she received, through faith, she received strength to conceive seed, because she judged him as faithful. Now we go back to Genesis chapter 18, and we want to look at this, that what took place with Sarah. And what we have is the Lord, a couple angels appear to Abram. Abram runs out to meet him, and then he dispatches his servants to make a feast, a meal, because Abraham recognized it as the Lord. He wanted to honor him, which is by blessing him. And he's going to bless him with food. I remember I never really could go to one of my grandmother's homes without some food being thrust upon me. And that was out of their love. They want to bless you, so here's food. Eat this. And Abram, He had that as a cultural thing where he needed to give an offering to the Lord and bless him. So they make the meal and have this meal. We read on down verse 9. They said, "Where's Sarah, your wife?" "Well, look, she's in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. The door, to the, of course, a tent door is not wood or metal. It's cloth. So she hears what they're saying out there. She's probably eavesdropping anyway. Maybe she was cooking up dessert. Doesn't really say, but she's listening. She hears this where Sarah, she's going to have a son this time next year. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So she went through menopause. She's not in position to have children anymore. Verse 12, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself." Yeah, bet me, buddy. "I'm too old to have a son. I mean, maybe 25 years ago when you spoke to my husband, but not now. It's too late." And sometimes in the process of waiting for things, we can think it's too late. As long as you're breathing, it's not too late. But she laughed within herself. "I'm old. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" The pleasure of having a son. The Lord said to Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" It's interesting. He didn't say, "Hey, Sarah, you laughed." He talked to Abraham. Said, "Abraham, she's laughing at this." Something I see in that, Abraham was responsible as the leader and the head to share what God spoke with him unto the point of faith rising in her heart. And it may be that he didn't really pursue doing that as he should have. Just as Adam was responsible to share with Eve accurately and impart the fact of what God said concerning in the garden, "You shall not eat of the fruit of this tree in the garden." And she comes along and the devil's tempting her and says, "Well, God said I shouldn't eat it or touch it." So now she's not quoting it right. Maybe Adam misquoted it. But in any case, Adam was the one responsible. It was his sin that brought the curse on the earth, not hers. So God's holding Abraham responsible here. "Abraham, you need to minister to your wife here. She's got to get a hold of this." It's just a side thought. You might say, "Well, I make the point." Well, there are times we may be responsible for someone else, like a parent to their children. It's the parent's responsibility to impart their faith to their kids. And that takes putting an effort and taking the responsibility and then doing it. So verse 14. Well, verse 13, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old?" Is anything too hard for the Lord? So he answers with a question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, for Abraham and his understanding, the answer is no, because chapter 17, right before this, he got the revelation. God is Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, with whom all things are possible. Is anything too hard, Abram? "At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I didn't laugh. I laugh not," for she was afraid. There are many times people deny something they said or did. "Oh, no, I didn't do that." "No, you heard it wrong. I didn't say that." Or another biggie people do, "Oh, I was just kidding. Ha, 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 ha." You know, that doesn't excuse you from what you said. Most of the time, people mean what they're saying. There's like this hidden truth in their jokes. That's why you need to watch making jokes towards people. because it actually may be the abundance of your heart leaking out, and you're trying to find a way to jab them without being accountable. Oh, what's your problem? Can't you take a joke? I was just kidding. Ha, 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 ha. No, you were serious. Stop your lying. See, that's kind of lying that hinders the Spirit of God from working in people's lives. So Sarah denies it. No, I didn't laugh. And he said, but you did laugh. We heard you laugh. You did laugh, lady. Now, Sarah needed to, now she's compounding the problem. And the problem was she was afraid. So now she lies to cover up her fear, as a result of her fear. You know, she laughs, sort of like mocking the promise of God. The Lord wasn't too happy about that. So out of her fear then, just like Adam, she has it like a cover-up. Oh, I didn't laugh. Yeah, you did. So here she's in this position, but Hebrews 11:11 says that by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive because she judged him faithful that promised. So somewhere between Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 21, where she conceived, faith rose in her heart, judging God was faithful to his word. Somewhere in that time, which I would surmise that's about 3 months, 9 months of pregnancy, a year later, she has a child. So a lot happened in these next 3 months. The whole Sodom and Gomorrah deal happened in those 3 months. And then there's Abram chapter 20 journeys farther south. Again, he always got in trouble when he left the place that God had him. He journeys farther south, and then he becomes afraid because Ahimelech, that local king there, he sees Sarah and says, hey, wow, she's a beautiful woman. And he asks and inquires, and Abraham and Sarah lie. And they say, or they tell half a truth. They say, well, she's my sister, he's my brother. So Ahimelech thinks, well, then I'm taking her. So he takes her. And here's Abram. And Abram made her promise when they married. And it goes on to say that in chapter 20. Made her promise when they married. If we enter into a situation like that, you say, he's my brother, I'm his sister. And they're telling a half a truth. Because when Abraham was confronted, he said, well, my father's had two wives, and she's a half-sister. But you see, that half-truth led into a whole lie. and it actually is going to bring judgment on Ahimelech. So down in at the end of chapter 20, there's something here important to bring out. Abraham, well, actually, before Ahimelech could have any sexual relations with Sarah, God spoke to him in a dream and showed him and said, this is another man's wife. This is this guy's wife. And Ahimelech had fear come upon him. And he said, well, you won't slay a righteous nation, will you? He said, I was walking in integrity. I didn't know that was another man's wife. They lied to me. So God warned him in the dream because of his integrity. And in Psalm 25, at the end there, it says that God's integrity protects us. Or God will protect us when we're walking in integrity. There's times you might make a mistake because you didn't know something. A mistake could get you in trouble. But God will protect you if you're trying to walk in integrity. But if you're blowing off, that's a rotten law the government has. Well, you're going to get busted eventually. But if you are trying to do the right thing, you see, like when it comes tax time, there's two types of people. Those who purposely deceive the government and those who are trying to do the right thing. But the manuals on doing your own taxes are written literally at a college PhD level. I did a business writing course once some years ago, and there's a formula to how they establish reading levels. It has to do with how many syllables to the average word in a paragraph, how many words to the sentence, how many sentences to the paragraph. And there's a formula, like I say. And they had different things, and they'd say, oh, I collect this newspaper written at a fifth grade reading level. And this is at this reading level. And the IRS tax forms are written at a PhD reading level. That's why most people don't understand it. And then on top of that, they write it gray. There are some things that are purposely written gray so they can interpret it the way they want to at the time. You know, when it comes to laws like medicine, you know, you wouldn't have a foot doctor do heart surgery. They're both doctors. They both had training. Aren't they the same? No, they're not. They're not the same. Same in law. There's people who can know civil law, criminal law, but then there's nonprofit law. Nonprofit's what a church would fall under. And they have their laws. So I try to comply. Diane, you know, working with me, we try to comply. But for someone to keep a job, they have to change things. I mean, they purposely will change things because the guy writing the manual up, that's his job. You know, so you try to read it and figure it out. And then you'll think you figure it out and you turn the page. And now the next page contradicts what you thought you figured out before. Well, anyway, we get a book every year. A guy makes it a couple hundred pages thick, going over all the IRS laws and that, and it'll bring the changes. And the guy will say in there, this has not yet been tested in court, so we don't know, because it's always something gray there. We don't know what this is really going to mean, so don't do anything with this. Just wait. And I always look for that. What's the gray? Well, I believe that if you're walking in integrity and you're trying to do the right thing, God will protect you or bail you out or get an answer to you somehow. But then there's people just, government wastes money. I don't care what they think. Their laws, blah, 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 blah. That is the attitude if you talk like that. I mean, you might not talk, blah, 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 but that's the attitude of it. I'm above the law. That's not integrity. God don't have your back in. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. I wasn't planning that. Just throw that one in there for us. But Ahimelech had integrity, and therefore God warned him, even though there was another man's sins about to bring judgment on his head. God warned him. So that's just a little Selah side message. But we go down in chapter 20. And towards the end, then what happens is Ahimelech, he goes to Abram. He says, why did you do this to me? And he said, well, he was afraid too. Fear will cause you to sin. Abraham lied because he was afraid. He said, I thought there's no fear of God here. You'll just take her. So it's better that I lie. Well, wouldn't better he be in faith and trust God to, and know God wanted him there in the first place. Secondly, to trust God would deliver him if need be and protect him. But see, fear blinded him to all of that. Don't give any place to fear in your life. It will cause other issues. So here Ahimelech's like giving an offering, saying, hey, you know, you can take your herds wherever you want, all my land. Ahimelech had more of the fear of God than Abraham did, the right kind of fear of God. And as we look on down through there at the end, what's important to see. Now remember, somewhere in the midst of all this, Sarah had faith, judging God as faithful to receive. And down at verse, cause me to wonder. He says, verse 15, dwell where you want to. Verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bore children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now what happened, a man and a woman had fear. That causes them to lie. which positioned Sarah to possibly be taken by another man, and she was the one ordained to bring forth Isaac that the nation of Israel would come out of. So as a result of that, there is a judgment or a curse on Abimelech and his household, where all the ladies all became, I mean, they went through menopause fast. None of them had their menstrual cycle anymore. It was like bang overnight. And they're weeping over this. They're, oh, you know, look what's happened. And God told Abimelech, Abraham's going to pray for you and your wife and everybody, and they're going to be healed. Abraham prayed and healed Abimelech, his wife, the maidservants, and they bore children. So what the situation has here is Abraham and Sarah are believing God for a miracle son. They struggled 25 years. Abraham finally came to the place of faith, but Sarah wasn't there yet. Abraham needed to impart the word that God gave to him directly to her, or preach it to her. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So God has Abraham pray for Abimelech, who they are in a place they can't have children because of Abraham. And God healed Abimelech when Abraham prayed for them. So there's a lesson in that, that there are times when you need something for God, he wants you to be a blessing to somebody else, and they're needing the very same thing. Now, we can more easily see that application. You may have a financial need. Let's say you need $100,000 and you have $1,000. It may be God have you give that $1,000 to the person who can't pay their mortgage this month, even though the bank's called in your mortgage and you need it in so many days, that $100,000. So God may at times, and this isn't like a doctrine where you just blindly do, but the principle here is God will have you bless someone relative to your own need. And Sarah saw that. She saw the faithfulness of God, that even though their sin brought a curse upon Ahimelech's family, God was faithful when Abraham prayed for them to heal all of them. And they all conceived children. Well, if God can do that for them, or Sarah, he can do it for me. If you need a miracle or something, one thing to do is see where he's done that for somebody else and understand he loves you just the same. What he's done for someone else, he can do for you. Many times we see miracles done in the Bible and he had formerly done the very same thing before. You especially see that with Elijah and Elisha, same miracles done. And the same types of things Jesus did then. So I believe it's at this point, it doesn't specifically say it, but it does record an event here that's noteworthy, that's when she saw it. Now, when it comes to us coming into faith for what we need to receive, it's not all the same for everybody. Abraham had to have God appear to him, say, I am a mighty God. And that revelation put him over. But for Sarah, it was this. She saw now all these other ladies are just like her. They cannot have children. And God used her husband's faith and obedience to lift that curse and bring blessing upon them where they're all pregnant. And Sarah sees all this. And she's no doubt hearing them all talk. Because you know what happens when a lady knows she's pregnant with child. You're going to tell somebody. I mean, you don't keep that a secret and hide it. Everybody's rejoicing. Praise the Lord. You're pregnant. You're going to have a child. And everyone celebrates. So now everyone around her celebrating. And they knew God did a miracle. So here's Sarah. If he did it for them, he can do it for me. God is faithful to his word. And he actually used my husband's faith. to bring this to pass. So I'm going to join my faith with my husband and brother. My wife can say that. I'm her husband and her brother. Not in the flesh, but in spirit. Hallelujah. My husband and my brother, his faith, I'm going to join mine with him. It shall be done according to the word of the Lord. Now, I say all that as a precedent to go to Luke chapter 1. And we see Mary. Luke 1:26. In a sixth month, when the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled and said, "What kind of greeting is this?" If you meet a stranger for the first time and they were to approach you and they say, and they're speaking something like that to you, you think, "Well, are you going to try and sell me something? Or what are they doing? What's the deal here? Are they flattering? I'm getting set up." So she was really troubled by this. Why is an angel coming to little old me? Who am I? When she saw him, she was troubled. Verse 30, the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Yes. When you're taken by surprise, that in itself sometimes can like startle you or bring fear. "Oh, what's this? What's up? An angel sends this to me. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." She's not married yet. You know what they do to a young lady who's pregnant and she's not married? Stone her to death, like John chapter 8. The assumption is she must have committed fornication. Joseph really had something to deal with when he found this out. But God sent the angel to him as well to tell him what he was doing. And Joseph believed God. Because at first he had the thought, it says in Matthew 1, he had the thought, "Put her away. She's been unfaithful to me." But God protected Joseph because he was a man of integrity and sent the angel to speak to him. So here's Mary receiving this word. "You're going to bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Now this blew her mind. Undoubtedly, at this point, "You're going to give birth to the Son of God. The Lord will give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end." Mary has a blown mind at this point. She was moments before, she's minding her own business. She might have been peeling potatoes for dinner. She might have been doing the wash, beating her on a rock. Like some places in the world, they still do that. You need to thank God for your washing machines. Be ever thankful for all the servants you have. My wife will do that. She'll thank God for her servants. Dishwasher, washing machine, dryer. They all save a lot of time for her. They're her servants. Yeah, sometimes they need fixed. Sometimes they need replaced. But nonetheless, Mary said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" How can this be? I'm not married. How can this be? And the angel said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, God spoke this. The first prophecy is in Genesis 3:16. The very first prophecy that God's seed is going to crush Satan's head. And a seed is a prophecy of Jesus there. And the sin nature would be bypassed in the virgin birth. Now, It's a whole teaching in itself. It's not what I'm getting at today. The virgin birth, the significance, is sin nature was not passed on from Joseph, but Mary gave the flesh to Jesus. But he was conceived of the Spirit by the Word of God. That thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and this is a 6 month with her who was called barren. You know what God's doing here? He's going to establish a witness. Yeah, she knows she's not like hallucinating. She went out in the sun too long. She's not dehydrated. She's not hearing things, seeing things, losing her mind. He'll establish the witness. So he says here, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived, and she's an older lady beyond bearing age. And that story's in the Gospels as well. So you know what she does? She up and goes to see Elizabeth. And then, as it goes, Elizabeth, her child jumped in her womb, as it reads. She was 6 months pregnant when Mary got there. And she begins to prophesy of what the angel said, that she's going to bring forth the Son of God. So God did that to establish the witness. She didn't just say, wow, I had a crazy dream last night. No, she went to see. She went to look at the witness. The witness was her cousin Elizabeth. Yeah, that older lady who's past childbearing, she had a child too, and she began to prophesy to Mary. Well, the angel follows this up then and says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. That sounds very familiar, doesn't it? It sounds very close to, with God, nothing's too hard for thee. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. That's what he said to Abram, and that's what Sarah heard. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. And this is the same thing. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary and Joseph knew the scriptures. They were God-fearing people. They went to the temple. They went and in the synagogues and heard the scriptures read. They took Jesus every Sabbath as a boy growing up to the age of 30 before he's released in the ministry. And he still went in to read the scriptures. And he reads from the book of Isaiah. And goes on to say, today this is fulfilled in your ears because it spoke of him, the Christ, coming, bringing liberty. And they wanted to kill him for it. Joseph and Mary knew the word. I hear this angel saying, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Your cousin Elizabeth, she's pregnant with a child. God establishes a witness. And this is the foundation of Mary's faith. With man, it's impossible. In the natural, this cannot be. But with God, all things are possible. The creator of heaven and earth can do a miracle in my body. I like to think about how big creation is. You know, the epitome of it is when you look at the stars. The universe is so expansive. And God's concerned about every hair on your head. Or lack thereof. He knows it. He's concerned about it. The same God who raised Christ from the dead raised us up with him. So as we recognize the power of God, the miracle power of God, we can believe for whatever his promise is. If you think someone makes a promise they can't keep, you're going to begin to doubt. But God not only is able to keep his promise, he's committed to watching over his word. We were looking at that last 2 weeks, last week in particular. He's a covenant-keeping God. He's watching over his word, and his mercy towards you never stops. He's always wanting to bless you. He's always wanting to pour out himself to you. Now, our disobedience can hinder it, but his heart towards you is unchanging. So as we just align ourselves with him, open up the faucet, let the water flow. So Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, or I'm here, Lord, I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. And this is her expression of faith out of her heart. Now, initially, she was shocked. Initially, she had some doubt. But as she heard that word, for with God nothing shall be impossible, it brought the trigger of the release of faith within her. For Abraham, I am Almighty God, walk before me. Sarah saw the miracle done for others that she needed to receive. It was through her husband's prayer faith. She judged God's faithful. Here is Mary with a very similar promise. She is not married. Now, she's not old. She could have children. But she's going to have one supernaturally without a man. And that child shall be the Son of God and shall bring deliverance to the nation and so forth. So her faith response is, be it unto me according to your word. As we judge God as faithful and we receive the promise, which is what gives us our hope, this is what we're looking for. Our faith is in him to bring it to pass. Then our end of it, our believing and confessing it, she says, be it unto me unto according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. Or we are believing and confessing the very thing what God's saying. Concerning Abraham, it says that he called things which be not as though they were. And that's what God does. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. God was speaking it prophetically. Every time he'd say Abraham's name, he's saying, your father of many nations, your father of many nations, your father of many nations. So then Abraham begins to say, I am Abraham. I am father of many nations. I call things which be not as though they already were, because we believe God's word. And Mary's doing that very same thing here. Be it unto me according to your word. And God did it according to his word. God favored her because she believed God. You know, faith attracts favor. Your faith in God attracts his favor to you. So God is faithful. Sarah judged him faithful. In considering the birth of Christ, there's so many lessons we can see, but one that to me is very profound is Mary exercised faith like Sarah. It took her a while, but how she came to the place of exercising faith, believing with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. There are things that God wants to do in your life. Maybe it's been a passing of time, whether it's a healing or believing God for a family member or God using you a certain way, whatever it might be. If you've allowed doubt to come in, pick up what the Lord has said again. And be honest with yourself. If you need more of a revelation, it's like, Lord, I know my faith needs to be stronger. Show me. Show me what I need to know. And that's what he did for Abraham. He gave him that revelation. Sarah saw a demonstration. The demonstration of that faith bringing forth the miracle that she needed. Mary had the knowledge of both of those things, of their lives. So when God said, with him nothing's impossible, that went into her spirit and out came her faith. Sometimes we might struggle with some things. We need to continue hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing the word by, the first word by. The process of hearing, continual hearing, the word of God, by the word of God. The second time the word by is used, a different word. It means unto the completion of that word. Until what God has spoken to you is complete and done, keep hearing it. Keep listening. Keep that rolling in your spirit and in your ears until the faith comes to bring it to pass. 25 years for Abram, but praise God, he got it. Don't allow the passing of time to rob you of what God wanted for your life. Yeah, but I'm standing for 30 years. Praise God. Do it again. The passing of time does not change what God wants to do or is going to do. It doesn't change it. And too often, and I think it's societally, we're becoming more and more instant with things where we want everything now, 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 now. And in that passing of time, you continue to hear there's things that God does that are so important. You learn to press in, seeking him. You continue just to be disciplined, to keep looking to him. And then you see the manifestation, and your faith's jacked up for the next thing. And we go from strength to strength, faith to faith.